Well, it's a beautiful hymn, isn't it? It is well with my soul. I think can tell you love singing that song. But you know, is it true for you today? All is well? What would you say? I mean, in the inside, in your soul, all is well? You have a deep seated sense of rest and peace, in spite of perhaps some of the challenging circumstances and people problems and open-ended questions that you're facing in your life right now. You can say this morning, truly it is well with my soul. Or is it perhaps more true that you've been worrying about some things? Been worrying about some things? Maybe you've been worrying about a relationship, worrying about a family member, about some stuff at your workplace, financial pressures. Maybe you're overwhelmed by all that is going on in your life and all that you feel that you need to accomplish. Maybe you're a parent here this morning and you see posts of other parents on Facebook and they and their children look so perfect. So you worry if you've done it all right. You haven't made cupcakes with your children like other moms have. You worry that sugar causes cancer and that stressing out over it causes cancer. Or you worry that maybe you're getting more wrinkles around your eyes, or you're worried that your daughter is going to fall in love with the wrong kind of guy, or you're just thinking about the future, and you can't shake your feeling that something bad is going to happen in your life. Maybe you've been lying in bed at night, and all of a sudden your brain says to you, I wonder if we have a disease. Do you ever have thoughts like that? I would think that none of us here are complete strangers to worry, to angst, to anxiety. As I was preparing this message about anxiety, I had anxiety. Will I be able to say what needs to be said? Will I do justice to the text? Will you understand? Will it make a difference? Will I be prepared? Anxiety. And then my wife comes to me in my office and she says, by the way, can I ask you to finish your preparations by 1 a.m.? Otherwise, maybe you want to sleep on the couch tonight. So anxiety, right? And if you're sitting down there, I'm standing up here right now, and I confess I have a bit of not an anxiety attack, but I feel a little bit uneasy, feel a little stressed. Usually do when I'm up here. And if you're sitting here this morning, and some of you go like, I'm never anxious. I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe we could trade places for a little while and you come up here, I go sit in your seat. You say a few words and I listen to you so that you too can experience what it is to feel anxious. You know, God in His incredible love, in His incredible wisdom, has given us His Word. Amen? And His Word tells us that He has given us everything we need. He has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. And what is so incredible about the Bible is that this Word meets us where we are. It meets us in our times of anxiousness. The Bible is completely relevant as our God uses His Word to speak into our lives today and tomorrow and every time that we have ears to hear and open hearts. And that is amazing. That's amazing. And so Jesus spoke to His disciples about anxiety. And that was some 2,000 years ago. And God wants to use that same message for you and me today. Isn't that incredible? So let's pick up in our series on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. Let me read from verses 25 through 34. Matthew 6, if you have your Bibles, verses 25 through 26. Jesus says here, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." And the tone here, the tone of this passage is not so much the Lord commanding us, like he did earlier in the Sermon on the Mount. Do not let anger get the best of you. Do not give in to lust. Do not pursue divorce. Do not retaliate. This here is a little different. Do not be anxious. And this is not so much a pointing of the finger as much as it is the Lord putting a hand on our shoulder and saying, "Child, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. There is no need to be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" Verse 28, "And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Neither do they toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Verse 31, "Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' 'What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Let us bow for prayer. Let us pray. Lord, as we consider your word to us this morning, would you open the eyes of our hearts so that we would be able to see what you would have us see. Lord, you want to free us from the things that bind us in our lives. Things that cause us to be in knots. Things that keep us from true freedom in Christ. Freedom that you have promised. And so we pray this morning, would you set us free today? Lord, we believe that you want us to overcome the temptation to fret and to worry, and instead you want us to live in joyful and confident and restful faith. Faith in you. Would you lead us there even now? In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Now before we get into the text here, let me say something about legitimate anxiety. Healthy anxiety. You know, the Bible uses the word for anxiety in the Greek, and sometimes it's translated as anxiety. Sometimes it's translated more in terms of concern for others. 1 Corinthians 12:24 or 25 speaks of concern among church members for one another. Uses that same word, be anxious for one another, be concerned for one another. Philippians 2:20, there Paul speaks of Timothy's concern for the welfare of the church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, Paul speaks of his concern. It says there in some translation, his anxiety for all the churches. These are not wrong anxieties. These are not bad concerns. There's such a thing as healthy anxiety in terms of legitimate concerns for other people, for one another. And so we need to understand that not all anxiety, all anxiousness is bad. Anxiety can, in fact, be very helpful. Depending on the context, anxiety may even be a God-given emotional response that is for our benefit. You know, there are things that you ought to be anxious about. It is not sinful to feel your heart beating a bit faster when you are out on a hike and a grizzly bear is chasing after you. That is healthy anxiety. There are legitimate reasons for anxiety, for concern. Sometimes God will grant you the gift of anxiety when you are about to make a big mistake in your life. Have you experienced that? You were going down a road and all of a sudden you felt this check in your spirit and you became anxious. That can be of the Lord. Sometimes God puts an unease in our hearts to protect us from doing something stupid or something sinful, something that will harm us. Thank God. Thank God at times He causes us anxiety for our own good. And so be careful. Be careful to listen to your anxious thoughts and evaluate them. Evaluate if these are protecting you from something or if these are harming you. Some anxious thoughts are harmful. Some are protective. There are other types of anxiety which can have physiological causes. Clinical anxiety or certain panic disorders that persist and may be due to chemical imbalances in our brain. Sleeping disorders that stem from that kind of anxiety or other social anxieties, they're not always easily resolved or not always connected to sin in our lives. And oftentimes they are illnesses that need medical attention, sometimes very difficult to treat. And at the same time, I always want to encourage you, if you are suffering from some of these things, biblical counseling, counsel from God's Word, is invaluable in those situations as they can impact our whole being and our health. But all these kinds of anxieties are not in view in our text. That's not what Jesus is referring to. Rather, Jesus is addressing everyday kinds of cares that can become over-the-top cares for us. Hyper cares, unnecessary cares that become so important that we get swallowed up by them and they occupy us too much and then shift our focus away from God onto lesser things and cause us to exchange faith for fear. You ever exchange faith for fear? I think we do that sometimes. So verse 25 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." Now if Jesus would have just stopped there, left it at that, we wouldn't really be helped, would we? That would be like saying to someone who is miserable, "Well, just be happy." Or someone who is in a panic, "Oh, just relax." Or someone who is angry, "Well, just chill out." Or someone who obsesses, "Why don't you just loosen up?" Or someone who feels ashamed, "Well, just get over it." It's not that simple, is it? Human emotions are incredibly powerful. And it's very difficult to just turn negative emotions off like a light switch. Just if we could do that, most of us would be doing that. How do you turn off your worried mind when you're laying in bed and your brain says to you, "I think you might have a disease"? How do you turn that off? And so what we need is we need a reason, we need a rationale to ease our minds and to be able to say in the midst of even the most violent anxiety storm of our lives, "It is well with my soul." Even the songwriter knew this, that it's not a light switch to come to the place of saying, "It is well with my soul." For he can only say, it is well with my soul, because he says this, thou hast taught me to say. Did you catch that when we sang that? Thou hast taught me to say, it is well. What has he been taught that he can say that? In other words, are there some things to be learned? Are there some unshakable truths to discover, which then provide the foundation on which we can rest in every circumstance of life, no matter how difficult it is, and then say, it is well with my soul? What are these foundational truths? Let's call them a faith-building truth this morning. Faith-building truth. And let's see what Jesus is teaching us in our text, where we see that he is not simply commanding us to stop worrying, but he is offering to us the cure. He's offering us an alternative cure. And we find here at least eight. Some commentators find more, but I'm going to share eight reasons, eight foundational truths, faith-building truths that show us why we need not be anxious about our lives. So here we go. Eight faith-building truths. Number one, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? What's the truth that we discover in these verses? What is the faith-building truth that we need to rest in? Well, Robert Elliott once said, rule number one is, don't sweat the small stuff. Rule number two is, it's all small stuff. You heard that before? I think there's some truth here. There's some truth to saying, in relation to life itself, food and drink and clothes, that's all small stuff. Life, the way in which the Bible speaks of life, is far more than our physical well-being. Life is far more than a few years that we spend on earth here even. Life is far more than the temporal, but it is far more precious, more purposeful, more timeless than reducing life to being about our daily needs. Yes, we need things. We know that. But our obsession with the latest fashions and the latest health craze reveals that we have an impoverished, a far too small view of our lives and what God wants our lives to be about. And no wonder that we then worry about little things when we think of our lives in little terms. Life is far more. Do you know that your life is eternal? Did you know that you will be living still 10,000 years from now? You will be living still 100,000 years from now and more. Did you know that? Are you realizing that? And so if we're going to worry about something, let's concern ourselves with matters that affect eternity, such as laying up treasures in heaven. Remember that from last week? Pastor Brent speaking to us about Matthew chapter 6, 20, 21, laying up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, if our hearts are focused on this short life and its pleasures and its things and its desires and its temporary thrills, then we are chasing the wrong treasures. No, life, your life is far more than that. Life in essence, if I could put it this way, life in essence is relationship with God. That's why we're here. That's why we will be in eternity. That's why we will live forever. Life, God-given life, life as God designed it, is relationship with God and living now and forever to His glory. That's why we're here. And all the other pursuits that we often get caught up in are negligible in comparison. So here's the first truth to remember. Life is more. Can you remember that? Life is more. Think about that when you get up in the morning and you wonder, oh, the fridge is empty, or I forgot to get milk, and you start worrying about, well, what am I going to make for? No. Life is more. Focus on real life. Focus on the life that God has for us. Secondly, Jesus says in verse 26, look at the birds of the air. I love this part. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Elizabeth Cheney wrote this little piece, this little poem. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Isn't that great? Did you know that we have a heavenly Father who cares for us? But we can forget that, right? I mean, you get busy and the cares of this life choke out God's truth. So easily. And the point that Jesus is making here is he's saying in essence, you are valuable. You are valuable. Worry says, I must not matter to God. That's what worry is, right? Worry really says, I must not matter to God. Anxiety about tomorrow says, God really isn't concerned about me. And here Jesus is reminding us that God cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxieties on Him. Why? Why? Because, do you know that verse? One of you? Anyone else? Go look it up. 1 Peter 5, 7. It's a great verse. You won't get there too fast. So, cast your anxieties on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Memorize. Say it to yourself often. He cares for you. You are valuable to God your Father. Do you know that? Are you putting your faith in that truth every day? Do you trust that truth? Even when things go wrong in your life, He cares for you. And can use even the greatest disappointment, even the greatest difficulty in your life for your good because He cares for you. Number two, He cares for you. Number three, Jesus says in verse 27, in which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to His span of life? And here Jesus is making an argument really from logic. This is a truth that I think we've all heard about. Anxiety does us no good. Do you agree? So why do you keep being anxious? Anxiety does us no good. It accomplishes nothing. Worry works not. I believe it was Emma Brombeck who said, worrying is like a rocking chair. Gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. No one ever thought to themselves, you know what? I don't know how I would have ever made it through that crisis in my life if I hadn't worried so well. Nobody says that. You know, when we were young parents, I remember with our first baby, God bless him, we did so much wrong. The time, first parents, some of you know what I'm talking about. When we were first parents, we would stay up at night and we would listen carefully and sit up at night to make sure that our baby was still breathing. Some of you do that? You've done that? Did our worrying help the baby keep breathing? Probably not. You see, anxiety is powerless. Anxiety is powerless. It cannot help us. It will only tire us out. It will only tire us out. Worry works not. Number four. Jesus says, verse 28, "And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven or into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Again, we see here Jesus speaking of our value, our great value in the eyes of God. But in addition, we see something else here. We see that God is able. God is able. Not only has God created the universe by his power, he is sustaining even the flowers of the field without any of their effort or their exertion. They neither toil nor spin. If God, without the help of flowers, can make them grow and make them beautiful simply because God so wants to, then can't God take care of us? What do you think? God is able. His arm is not too short. See, when we worry, we are telling God, "You know what? I don't know that you can really handle my life, God." That's what we're saying when we worry. "I don't think that I can trust you to run my life. I don't think that you're really in control. I had better worry about these things. I need to do everything that I can to take care of myself because I'm not sure that you will take care of me or that you're capable of taking care of me. Oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith." You see, anxiety is it's a trust issue. It's a trust issue. Francis Chan once said, worry implies that we don't trust that God is big enough, powerful enough, or loving enough to take care of what's happening in our lives. Let me say that again. Worry implies that we don't trust that God is big enough, powerful enough, or loving enough to take care of what's happening in our lives. And here now Jesus reminds us that God is indeed able. The question always is, are we going to trust him? Are we really going to trust him? Number five, Jesus says, "Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles," or the heathen, or the pagans, it says in some translations, "they seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." Simple truth here is this one. You know, when we are anxious about our lives, we reveal that we are really no different from those who do not know God. That's what it says when we fail to trust in God's power, in God's love, in God's sovereignty, we're saying we're like those people that don't know God. We're like the Gentiles, the pagans. We're not different from those who do not trust God. You know, we can say all day long, "I believe in God." It's very different from being able to say, "I trust my God completely." We may say that we believe in God, but we can act as practical atheists who do not count on God. We do not count on God. But if, and I want to say if, because not everyone here today may belong to the Lord, but if you have put your faith, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you know that you have been bought with a price, and you know that you've been adopted into the family of God, and you know that you have a new identity as child of God who has been given a new heart, a new set of desires, new life, and therefore you have a different purpose today than to live a happy life here on earth that is not your first goal. You have a different purpose. You know what? We have to remind ourselves again and again, we are different. We are different. Jesus was different. We're supposed to be like Him. We are different. Our goals, our ambitions, our aspirations for this life and for the life to come, our hopes, our dreams, what we value, what we ultimately look for, what we look forward to, all of that changes when we are His. Amen? And if it doesn't change, then you are likely not His. Then you are likely not His. And I say that because I love you, and I want to warn you this morning. My biggest fear as a minister of the gospel is that you come here Sunday after Sunday and you are not saved, and I will not see you in glory one day. That is my biggest fear. And all along you may be sitting here and thinking, I'm okay, I'm okay. God forbid. God forbid. So we must remind ourselves we are different. Our goals, everything about us has changed to the grace of God. Our lives are no longer dominated by temporal pursuits. We live in another kingdom. We are God's kingdom people. We are not of this world. God's kingdom is not of this world. We are different, and thus we do not worry about the same things as do those who have no hope in Christ. We are different. Number 6, Jesus says, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know, Jesus never says, stop pursuing things. Never says that. He's just saying, pursue the right things. Pursue the right things and do it passionately. Don't make eating and drinking and clothing and the nice things and a nice career and good health and more money and good looks and more fun, don't make that your ultimate pursuit. Those pursuits will cause you much anxiety. And in the end, all is going to go up in smoke. None of it will last. Instead, make it your first pursuit. Make it your first ambition. That's the emphasis in this verse here. First seek. Make it your first ambition in life to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these earthly necessities, not luxuries, mind you, but the things that we need in order to be here for this time, the things we need in order to glorify God, all those things He deems that are necessary for us, He will give them to us. But first things first, first seek His kingdom. Be consumed with His kingdom. What is His kingdom? Well, the kingdom, and we don't have time to unpack this fully, but the kingdom basically is God's rule and reign in your life. That's what it is. God's rule and reign in your life. It's no longer you, but He rules your life today, and He will rule our lives and all of life in eternity. And we make His priorities then our priorities. That's what kingdom living is about. We make His goals our goals. We spend our life following Jesus. Spend our life loving God. We spend our life loving others into the kingdom of God. And so remember what is first. Remember what is first. Number 7, Jesus says, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Or the NIV says, each day has enough trouble of its own. How does the saying go? I think you know it. Worry is interest paid on trouble before it comes due. Something like that. Right? That's what worry is. We're paying interest on something that we, on a debt that we may not owe. Right? And so here in verse 34, we learn that God will not exempt us from all trouble. It says each day we'll have trouble. Isn't that interesting? I mean, this is where the whole health and wealth gospel is such a sham. It's not biblical. We will have trouble. Troubles will come. The Bible says, Jesus says it in John chapter 16, 33. He says, in this world you will have trouble. Don't be surprised by it. But we need not be anxiously waiting for the potential of next day's trouble. That's what anxiety is. Let's deal with today's challenges with God's help. And while we do that, let us remember that the steadfast love of the Lord never changes. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. In fact, they are what? They are new every morning. They're there every single day for us. Not for tomorrow. They're there waiting for us today so that we can deal with today's trouble. Lamentations 3, 22, 23. You see, each day has its own trouble, but every day has a fresh supply of God's mercy to help us in our time of need. Count on God's mercy for tomorrow. Will you do that? Get up in the morning, quote this verse, His mercies are new every morning. That's today. I can live on the basis of that promise. I can confidently go into this day with joy and with peace, because I know that His mercies will not run out on that day. Number 8, last one, promise. There's one more thing that Jesus says that we need to hear, and we need to go all the way back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, and I tell you why. See, verse 25, where we started today, says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. But that phrase is connected to everything that follows before. You see, whenever we see the word therefore in the Bible, we need to ask the question, what is therefore therefore? Okay? Can you remember to do that? As you study Scripture, as you read the Bible, if you see that word therefore, read what precedes that word. So let's see, what does it say in verse 24? It says there, no one can serve two masters. We looked at that last week. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money or mammon. Therefore, because this is true, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. So please don't miss this. Don't miss this. Because this is the foundation to everything that we've seen in this passage today. To live a life free of anxiety, free of worry, we need to make a choice. Brent already talked about that last week. I need to stress it again. We need to make a choice, friends. We need to get off the fence. We need to choose. We need to decide in which kingdom we're going to live our lives. We need to decide that. It doesn't just happen somehow. You need to make a choice. Which kingdom am I going to live my life in? Under whose rule? Under whose reign? Is it going to be my own kingdom with pursuing my own desires? Or is it going to be in God's kingdom with the pursuit of His desires for me? We must decide. We must decide every day. We must decide on who our master will be. We must decide on where our treasures will be. We must decide what kingdom we're going to live our lives in. One decision will naturally lead to living with anxiety, a great deal of anxiety. The other choice leads to ultimate freedom and true life. That's what Jesus has promised us, and I bank on it. I don't always see it, but by faith I believe it. And so the question for all of us is this: what is first in your life? Not that you can't go shopping for food anymore, or you can't enjoy buying a pretty dress. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Where's your focus? Where's your ambition? What is at the top of the list of your pursuits in life? You see, God has loved you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus, who emptied Himself. He didn't have to do that. He emptied Himself, as we read in Philippians chapter 2, He became a servant. He humbled Himself to the uttermost, so much so that He willingly went to the cross, and He gave His life for you and for me and for our sins, so that you and I could be forgiven, and so that we could be restored to God the Father and become His adopted children, part of His family, as those who have been given new life, eternal life. And in light of that truth, let me ask you the question: in light of God's love for you, whose kingdom will you choose? Whose kingdom will you choose? What is first in your life? What is first in your life? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let us pray. Let's pray. Lord God, we really have no reason to doubt either Your mercy or Your might. For You gave Your life for us on the cross. You have risen to make all things new. And Lord, Your word tells us that You are for us and not against us. Lord, that we might be able to grasp that no one cares more about us than You do. No one loves us more than You do. And so, Lord, why do we then still have trouble trusting You and living our lives with the freedom that comes from resting ourselves completely in Your hands? Oh Lord, could it be that we keep choosing the wrong kingdom? Could that be true? Could it be that we keep running after the wrong things? Oh Lord, this morning, we need to repent of our lack of faith. We need to come before You with vulnerable hearts, humble hearts, and say to You, Lord, we have not lived in the kingdom in such a way in which You would have us live. Would You forgive us? Would You redirect us? And would You help us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, instead of fixing our eyes on all the things that will go up in smoke. Lord God, we thank You this morning for Your promises to us and all the reasons that You have shown us even today in Your word why we need to be putting our faith in You. You are true, You are mighty, You are loving, You are kind, You have the right plan for our lives. You are absolutely trustworthy. And as we read in Your word that says, the Lord is at hand, You are here even now. Thus, as Paul says, we need not be anxious about anything, but we have this opportunity through Jesus that in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we can let our requests be known to God, and then the peace of God, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus. Thank you for this is your promise for all those who trust in you. Help us, Lord, to be those people. Help us to be those people who put their trust fully in you today. Help us to be those who choose wisely. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.